You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, last week we focused on the nature of the sacrament of the altar. In other words, we answered the question, what is it? Today we focus on the benefit of the sacrament of the altar. So that becomes the most important part. We want to receive the benefit. The benefit is something that we desperately need. If you're following along in your catechism today, you can take the 2017 edition and turn to page 331. As we go further here, let's go to the second sacrament of the altar, question and answer, as asked and then answered by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther. What is the benefit of this eating and drinking? He wrote, "These words, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation." Do you see where he's going with that answer? He's talking about forgiveness being the primary benefit, in a sense, being the only benefit, we could say. But let's also understand, though, that anytime we have forgiveness, it's coming in a package. So you can't have just forgiveness without having many other wonderful blessings. Anyone who has God's forgiveness, they also have the gift of spiritual life. They also have the gift of eternal salvation. They also have the gift of the Holy Spirit. So all of them go together. So even though the benefit of the sacrament is forgiveness, there are many other wonderful things we have. That comes out in his answer, and that will also come out as we continue here with the rest of today's sermon. Going on to the central thought, we have a quote here from the Large Catechism. It says, "In the sacrament, we receive a great treasure, the forgiveness of sins." Think about a treasure. A treasure is something that people can get very excited about when it is a financial treasure. People are willing sometimes to travel around the world, to go into a deep, dark jungle with some kind of a crude map in hope of somehow finding a buried treasure. If we think about it, even if the treasure was $1 billion, would that really be anything in comparison to the treasure of the forgiveness of sins by which we are right with God and will be blessed by God forever and ever? Oftentimes, I don't think we have the right perspective. We think of financial things, maybe even of health realities, being greater treasures than the forgiveness of sins. But let's know, though, that the forgiveness of sins is by far most important, because that is a great treasure day by day in this life, and that is a great treasure for the life to come. It goes on in the Large Catechism and says, "Our Lord's words assure us that this treasure is passed along and made our very own when we receive his body and blood." We'll come to that more and more here as we proceed. So, looking at today's section in the Catechism today, a bit unusual if you compare the other ones we've covered so far. In this section, we have only two questions to deal with. Now, they are multiple part questions in a sense, or I should say they have multiple part answers, but still only two questions. Many of the sections have had 14 questions, so quite a difference today. Going further here, we come to what the Catechism calls a closer reading of the Small Catechism. So the first question is, what is the benefit promised in the sacrament? Very simply, the benefit is the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said in one place where we have the words of institution, remember they are in four places, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians. So in Matthew, Jesus said, eat, drink for the forgiveness of sins. So the Bible is very clear on that topic. If anyone would deny that it is for the forgiveness of sins, they are denying the Bible. They are denying the very words of Jesus Christ. Also, too, the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 1, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we all have the problem of sin. There is no soap, there is no action that we can take in order to get washed clean. It is only by the holy, precious blood of Jesus. God knows what we need, and God provided it. And then we're asking that same question again, so we're actually going to ask it three times here altogether in this first part of the sermon. So again, what is the promised benefit in the sacrament? Life with God now and salvation everlasting. What do we mean by that? In other words, since we have forgiveness, we have spiritual life and we have eternal salvation. Again, it's a package kind of a situation. Regarding having spiritual life, notice what it says there in 1 Peter chapter 1. You have been born again. So we were born once from our mothers. That was our physical birth. Born again is to be born spiritually, and that has to be in connection with God, and that has to be by the working of the Holy Spirit, and he always gives that new birth in conjunction with his holy word, and that also includes holy baptism. So it says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed. See, physically, we are perishing. One day we will die. So not a perishable seed, but of imperishable. And how did God do that work? Through the living and abiding Word of God. So that's a great blessing we have too, along with the forgiveness of sins. And then we have eternal salvation. Jesus said so concisely, so simply there in John chapter 6, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. What did we talk about last week? We talked about with the nature of the sacrament, for people who receive it, but they do not believe, they do not receive the benefit. So when we receive the benefit, that means that we have to also then have faith in Jesus Christ. So again, for most of this sermon today, think about this idea of a package of blessings. Isn't that nice anyway? Who wants just one blessing? Why not have a whole package of blessings? That's what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Going further, then, we ask the first question one more time. What is the promised benefit in the sacrament? Well, since we are forgiven, we also have Christ living in us. So that's part of the package of blessings. What does the Bible say on that? He's living in us to give us the victory over sin and Satan. So Paul made the comment about himself there in Galatians chapter 2. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. As we go through life in this world, as we get involved in the day-to-day things of life, I think it's very easy to forget that Christ is living in us, that the Holy Spirit is living in us. And even if you look at places in the Gospel of John, it's even talking about God the Father living in us. So gathering here is nice and important and good, but when we leave here, God goes with us. God wants us to keep that in mind. So he lives within us in order to give us victory over sin, over Satan, and we are constantly being attacked, aren't we, to fall into sin. The devil is there to tempt us. And yet, thinking about the sermon on temptation back a few weeks ago now, remember those very important things. That when the temptation comes, God is controlling the strength of the temptation. And he promises, I will never let it be stronger than you are able to endure. And then, what was the other important thing about temptation? God said, every time he permits it to come, will never get backed into a corner, but he will always provide the way of escape. Great, great blessings when it comes to temptation. And then, too, because we have Christ living in us, he is there to give us strength in order to live for him. So God doesn't say, just do it. God says, do it. And by the way, here is the strength you need to do it. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, talking about Christ, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. So important that we know that in order to be sure of God's forgiveness. And also important, too, that we know that our sins in our lives right now in the 21st century, they were put on Christ almost 2,000 years ago. Seems impossible. The sins had not even yet been committed, but God knows all things. God knows every sin to the end of the world, and they all were put on Christ. So he bore our sins in his body as if they were his sins. Why did he do that? So that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And then think about the last part of the verse, for by his wounds you were healed. Isn't that an odd statement? For by his wounds you were healed. But here we were greatly wounded, even dead in our sins. So then he became greatly wounded and then laid down his life for our sins. And in him taking what he took and doing what he did, that made us all better. An amazing thing. That shows how much God loves us. Now we come to the section of the catechism called Connections and Applications. So we come to the second of our two questions today. So the second question, why should Christians be encouraged to receive the sacrament frequently? So here we have a four-part answer. So first of all, why should Christians be encouraged to receive the sacrament frequently? Because Jesus invites us to come. Think about it like this, knowing that we are poor, miserable sinners. And like I said before, if you're not quite sure if you are also poor and miserable, take a look right here, and God will convince you that you are a poor, miserable sinner. So knowing that is true for us, and knowing of our great need for God's forgiveness, knowing of Jesus' invitation to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins, how should we respond? We should gladly run and receive and rejoice that we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Asking the question again, why should Christians be encouraged to receive the sacrament frequently? Well, the Catechism says, we need the comfort and strength of Christ's forgiveness for living our new life while we are assaulted by the devil and struggle with our sinful nature. Think about it like this. If you have a balloon, how much does it take to completely exhaust that balloon? So the balloon is this size, and if you have the point of a pin that is this tiny, that can completely exhaust that balloon just like that. So we understand as that can happen, God wants us to know that one unforgiven sin in our lives can exhaust our strength and our desire to live for Jesus Christ. Does God want that for us? By no means. He doesn't want that strength to be exhausted from us. He wants us to have it, so he knows that in order for us to have it, we need to know for sure that we are forgiven. Therefore, through the sacrament of the altar, what does God want to do? He wants to assure us that we are forgiven. He wants to strengthen us to live for Jesus Christ, and he wants to defend us against the assaults of our sinful nature. I hope you can see how that assurance of forgiveness is not just a small thing, but it's a very important thing, and that can have an impact on the whole rest of our daily lives. God wants us to be sure. Asking the question again, why should Christians be encouraged to receive the sacrament frequently? The Catechism says, we are united with Christ and our fellow believers in this sacrament. Now, here at Bethlehem and in most congregations, we use individual wafers rather than a single loaf of unleavened bread. But if we were using a single loaf of unleavened bread, what does the Bible say? In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, "Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." We have many things, many influences that want us to be individual. And now we even have individual wafers. But actually, though, God wants us to remember about our unity with each other, about that oneness. And maybe the way to do that is to go back to one loaf of bread. I don't know, but that's one of many things that can point in that direction. We could also think about the idea of one cup. So imagine Jesus there in the upper room eating his final meal, Last Supper, Passover meal, and he takes a one loaf of bread, he breaks it in half, and he says, "Take from this. This is my body." And then taking the one cup, he says, "Drink from it. This is my blood." So they had that unity with the one loaf of bread, with the one cup. We've lost that today. But still, though, I encourage you to remember that reality, to think about that reality. So going a little further here, when it comes to our unity with God, it is a vertical kind of a unity. So we are in communion with God on the basis of his word and on the basis of our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we come to God, we are saying, "God, we believe this book is your holy word. We believe this book is true. So this book is true in regard to you creating the world. This book is true in regard to us being poor, miserable sinners. This book is true in regard to Jesus being your son who took away the sin of the world." And all kinds of things like that. So as we come to God, we are coming in a vertical manner, and we are coming on the basis of this book. So all of us are doing the same as we gather to receive. And if we're not coming with that kind of an attitude, then we should not come. God wants us to know this is true and it all applies to our lives. And then we think about this thing in a horizontal way. So we are in communion with our fellow communicants. So that would be in this direction, in a horizontal way. So how are we in communion with our fellow communicants? That is true as we, as poor, miserable sinners, confess Christ as our Savior and receive his very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. So when you come, remember there is a vertical communion with God and a horizontal communion with the others who are gathering with us at the altar. Asking the second question again, why should Christians be encouraged to receive the sacrament frequently? The Catechism gives this answer. As Christ has given himself to us so completely with his body and blood, so too the sacrament strengthens us to give ourselves in sacrificial love and service to the neighbor. Jesus commanded his disciples in John 15, he said to them, "Love one another as I have loved you." So Jesus went all the way in loving us. Jesus didn't look at us and say, "Well, I love you, but." There was no but in it. He was willing to say, "I love you," and he went all the way. Though it was horrible to go all the way, as we think about the cross, he went all the way for us. So he's calling us to love others as he has loved us. Quite a challenge, quite difficult, but yet when we have the love of God, when we have the power of the Holy Spirit, when we have God's holy word guiding us, God wants us to know that such extraordinary things are possible. So he calls us to look at other people, see what their needs are, and then take action to show love for them. I added in a part here because we only had two questions, so I thought it was very fitting because what we're looking at today, how often we should receive the sacrament. So it reminded me of Luther's Christian questions with their answers. So we're going to take a look here at question 19 and question 20, because that fits right in with that topic. So question 19, what should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently? First of all, Luther answered, both the command and the promise of Christ the Lord. What does that mean? He's commanding us to come, so we should come. He's promising forgiveness. We need forgiveness, so let's go and receive the forgiveness. That's what he's talking about there. And then he said, another reason is our own pressing need, because of which the command, encouragement, and promise are given. In other words, we all need forgiveness, so why not come and receive it? It's a very simple, logical thing. And then going on to question number 20. So there are 20 questions altogether. This is the final one in Luther's Christian questions with their answers. But what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament? Luther wrote, to such a person, no better advice can be given than this. Then he has a three-part answer. First of all, he said, first, that person should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. What does he mean by that? Make sure you are physically alive. In other words, some people who claim to be spiritually alive are not spiritually hungry. So if they're not spiritually hungry, we're wondering, oh, they must not be spiritually alive. Think about going to a funeral home and seeing your loved one in the casket. Are you thinking about your loved one being physically hungry? You know that that time has passed for that person. Because physical death has come, there's no longer physical hunger. God wants us to know that when we are spiritually alive, unfortunately, we're going to be falling into sin, so we should be hungering for his great blessing of forgiveness. Luther also wrote, secondly, he said that person should look around to see whether he is still in the world and remember that there will be no lack of sin and trouble. Think about it like this. Since we live in a fallen world, we will certainly fall into sin and encounter trouble. We should have no doubt about those things. Therefore, such things should make us long to receive the sacrament. Finally, Luther wrote, regarding the person who is not hungry or thirsty for the sacrament, that person will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without. When we are not sure as to whether or not we are forgiven, then we have no peace. Think about it. When we are sure that we are forgiven, what is the result of that? Peace. But when we are unsure about forgiveness, then we have no peace because we're wondering, hey, is everything okay between me and God or not? Not quite sure if I'm forgiven. Not quite sure if there's even a relationship anymore. I have no peace about that. God wants us to have that peace. It's important. So God wants us to be aware of our sins. How do we become aware of them? By looking in his word. So aware of our sins. Then he wants us to be sorry for our sins. And then he wants us to come and receive the very body and the very blood of Christ and be absolutely sure that we are forgiven. Let's close with a prayer as we go to the Catechism, page 334. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you suffered in your body and shed your precious blood to redeem your fallen creatures. Grant us to come often to your supper, trusting in your promise, and so to receive the everlasting benefit of the gifts you give in your body and blood. The forgiveness of sins, life with you, and eternal salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.